Good morning. Our text for today is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Before we enter into just unpacking this a wee bit, just let us pray. Father, we have come on to this weekend, which is a glorious weekend, where we celebrate, where we remember the birth of your son being born in Bethlehem. It's our earnest prayer that he will be born or reborn in us again today. May we be able to grasp the wonder of it all again. May we be able to understand the magnitude of what it meant for your son, our Savior, to come to earth. But Lord, we long to know it as a deeper reality in our lives. And if there's anything, Father, which would stop that, just deal with it right now, we pray. Forgive us and wash us and cleanse us. And then open up our hearts. Open up our eyes just to see and to hear and to know what our Savior can do and what he longs to do in our hearts and our lives. Be glorified through this time together. Amen. So yeah, Isaiah 9 verse 6, for to us a child is born and to us a son is given. But what is Christmas? Even when we know the story and debate it to the finest detail, unless we allow the God of the story to come to us and change us, it is only then can we start living the life the story is all about. Dr. Bruce Waltke says the world is lost without a sense of God. Men and women everywhere desperately need to know that there is someone in charge of life, that there is a source to whom they can turn for help and for deliverance. The world needs to know that Jesus Christ is God. If Jesus is not God, then I do not have a Savior. Yet, isn't it sad that we are his children, as his children, could go about Christmas as if he hadn't come and transformed our lives? Several years ago, a group of historians met and asked a number of intriguing questions, starting, what if? What if the Moors had won in the great historic battle in Spain? What if Louis XVI had been a strong, firm king? What if Alexander the Great didn't die so young? And so these questions were asked, what if? What would history be like if these events had never happened? They wrote a book after their discussions entitled, If, History Rewritten. Yet for me, of all the what-ifs in history, the most profound would be, by far, what if Jesus had not been born? In his discussions with his disciples, John 15, Jesus spoke these challenging words, if I had not come and spoken to them, if I had not done, verse 24. Jesus invites us to consider a possibility. What if he'd not come to earth? What if he had not been born in Bethlehem? What if he had not walked this earth and walked on water? Maybe made the blind to see, the deaf hear, the lame walk? What if he never raised the dead? What if he didn't have those words to comfort, to challenge, to teach, and to lead us to God? What if he never died on the cross? What if he never rose from the dead? Where would we be? And what kind of world would this be? Such an if staggers the mind, doesn't it? Yet the startling fact is, we so often live and go about our life as if he hadn't come. Please stop, just stop, and thank God today that there is no ifs in his story. If there were, we would not have an assurance of God. You check out John 1 verse 18. From the beginning of human history, we've been waiting to know who God is. And God revealed what he is like by sending his son. Unto us a child is born. Isaiah wrote also that God became Emmanuel, God with us. Otherwise, God would have no face, no ears, no heart that we could understand. Because as Jesus said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father, John 14. And I and the Father are one, John 10. If Jesus had not come, we would not have the knowledge of what God is like. We would not understand how he could identify with us and how we could relate to him and have the best assurance we belong to him. The greatest love story ever told is the story of God's involvement with a sinful people, for God so loved the world. By the way, the word world is used in three ways in the Bible. First, it's used for the created world. Then it is used for the corrupt world, the evil of the world that is separated from God because of sin. And finally, the word world is used for the entire human community, the population of this earth. For God so loved you and I. You still may not have the right view of God, but this doesn't affect his view and his love for you. And since God is love, God's indwelling means love abiding in us. The divine life and nature finding expression in our love one for another. This is a true aspect of Christmas. What an assurance. If Jesus had not come, we would not know the fullness of God's love. Greater love hath no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends, John 15 says. And God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died, Romans 5 says. But what an assurance. If he had not come, we would not have the victory in God. About 100 years ago, someone published a Christmas card entitled, If Christ Had Not Come. The card pictured a pastor preparing a Christmas message and fell asleep in his study. He had a dream. He had a dream that he was in a world into which Jesus had never come. He saw himself walking through his house, but as he looked around, he saw no Christmas tree, no nativity with a Christ child there. When he came back into his study, he realized that every book about Jesus had disappeared. He walked out onto the streets, but there was no church. The New Testament with its story of Jesus' promises of heaven had disappeared from his Bible. There were no gospels and no promises of salvation, no hope or resurrection. All he could do was bow his head and weep. There was no hope. And suddenly he woke up with a choir singing, O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. My friends, he has come. Hallelujah. Yaroslav Pelikan says, regardless of what anyone may personally think or believe about him, Jesus of Nazareth has been the dominant figure in the history of Western culture for almost 20 centuries. If it were possible with some sort of super magnet to pull out of that history every scrap of metal bearing at least a trace of his name, how much would there be left? Jesus is the hinge of history. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. Think about it. Think about him. And thank God that he has come. He said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Are you living it? Are you living what John 10:10 says? Life to the full. He said, I have come into the world as light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Do you know the light? Or are you still wandering around in the darkness of an experience? It was Packer that said in his book, Knowing God, we can't understand this part of the story until we put it into the context of the whole story. There is no gospel without the cross. Christmas by itself is no gospel. Even the life of Christ is no gospel by itself. The good news is that sin has been dealt with for us. The babe of Bethlehem was our representative. A few days ago, I was reading about Winston Churchill and the funeral plan that was written for him. He wanted the great hymns of faith to be sung. And at St. Paul's, he wanted the trumpet to be sounded. One trumpeter on one side of the dome and another one on the other side of the dome. The first trumpet sound was the sound of taps. Day is done. Gone the sun. And then from the other side of the dome, as soon as that was finished, he wanted the reveille to be played. See what a morning, gloriously bright, with the dawning of hope in Jerusalem, folded the grave clothes, tomb filled with light, angels announce, Christ is risen. Had Jesus not come, there would have been no victory, no salvation from sin. According to 1 John 3, the Son of God came to destroy the devil's work, and he has done. Completely. The last enemy has been defeated. Hallelujah. He came to break that bondage and to give us the victory which is surely ours. What a wonderful thought as we go through this Christmas weekend. So we have that assurance we have victory. And thirdly, if he hadn't come, we would not have purpose from God. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do, Ephesians 2 says. Notice that God created you and he has a plan for your life. We look around and see injustice and poverty and wonder, will it ever be made right? Well, Isaiah 9 says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. If Jesus has not come, there will be no righting of the wrong, no true purpose in life. But he did come. That's good news. That's why we celebrate Christmas. We're called to glorify and enjoy him. Do you have, and are you living a faith to survive Christmas, to go beyond Christmas? Christmas is God's powerful, wonderful, loving way of grasping hold of this world through a babe, his son. The message of Christmas is this: Christmas love is always wrapped in the unexpected. God's answer always to the what-ifs of life. Assurance of God, victory in God, purpose from God. It is not a matter of finding a belief that satisfies my desires, but I need to find the truth that will answer those questions and satisfy my needs. Christ did come and still comes to where you are right now and to give you an assurance of who he is, victory over whatever is troubling you, and a purpose for the tomorrows. God's promise and his coming to us, as us, at Christmas may be past our understanding, but it is not beyond our response. So how are you going to respond? How are you going to react to such a world-changing gift? We must come again to the Christ of Christmas. Allow the Christ of Christmas to change us. We can't offer God anything of equal value for all that he has done for us. Actually, he doesn't ask for us to do that. Instead, God simply tells us to receive his son, to receive his love, to receive his life, and begin to live the answer to the what-ifs that each day poses. When this happens, all the purpose of the gospel is achieved. God's love itself reaches its perfect and glorious goal. You see, incarnational theology is about Christ being there, in the unexpected, in this dark world, in all those experiences that we're going through, all that we're facing this Christmas, and all that we're worried about as we go into the new year. It's taking, sharing, loving, giving, letting our faith live out to the homeless, to the foodless, to the jobless. It's the Christ of Christmas, not past, but present, of his powerful presence in our lives. What a thought. To go on from this time, this Christmas weekend, into a new year, and all those things that God has for us, that assurance of who he is, that victory over whatever is troubling, and that purpose for tomorrow. May God bless you. Continue to have a happy Christmas, and may you know a peaceful new year. Amen.